John chapter number 2, verse number 7, that's page 900 in the Pew Bible. First John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, we're going back to some terminology we were using in chapter number 1, light and darkness. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I had Anna pass out. I was just going to read the verse to you, but I thought, no, I want to do something a little more than just read the verse to you. I want to put something in your hands that you can remember why it is that John is writing unto us. And so I had somebody bring over some cardstock this morning and just decided, well, I'll make a little bookmark maybe. And 1 John 5:13 is what's on that card, which says, these things have I written unto you, who? You that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Why is he written? He's written unto those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God. But why? That you may know that you have eternal life. I mean, of all the things, and you can see that I put in bold the beginning of that verse, these things I've written unto you, and then skip down and put in bold again, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. But put in bold again there, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is why John's writing unto us. This is his purpose. And writing these things that he's writing unto us, we're now in chapter 2, and we'll have, you know, all the way to chapter 5 that we'll be going through, and possibly, if the Lord leads, go into the second epistle of John, which is just one chapter, and the same with the third epistle of John. Probably one of the shorter studies that we've done, even if we go through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, because the books just, you know, they aren't as long as some of the other studies that we've been through already. But this is the purpose that he's written, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay. You know some things. You know your ABCs, you know your addition and your multiplication and subtraction and division, and you know some things about all the subjects that you studied in school. You know some things about the job that you work at. You know the rules and regulations and things that may be required there. You may know how to turn on your TV or start your car. You may know lots of different things. But out of every single solitary thing that you know, is there anything more important than knowing that? No. No. Nothing. Nothing is more important than knowing that. I mean, of course, what's contained within that as well is knowing God. You're not going to have eternal life without knowing God. But how important a thing it is for us to know that we have eternal life. Nothing more important than that. So in the vein of that thought, that's really what we've been looking at in chapter number 2. And we saw the first thing, you know, there at the beginning of the chapter, when John tells us in verse number 3, hereby we know that we know him How? Obedience, if we keep His commandments. It's obedience. We also look at the fact that gives us assurance. Oh, what a blessed thing assurance is, that I know that I have eternal life. How do I know that I have eternal life? I keep His commandments. I'm obedient unto Him. I desire to keep His commandments. It's not a forced thing. I'm not grieved about having to keep His commandments. But He's given me a heart that desires to keep them. A heart that wants to obey Him. A heart that loves Him. How do I know that I know Him? If I keep His commandments. So, we saw that firstly. Secondly, what do we see here in these verses? What are these verses talking about, 7 through 11 here? Talking about love, right? How do we know that we know Him? Besides if we keep His commandments. Besides obedience. If we love the brethren. Do you love God's people? Do you have an affinity for God's people? An affection for God's people? A concern for God's people? A desire to spend and be spent for the sake of God's people? So, here He's talking about love. The one who loves his brother. Now, what's God shed abroad in our hearts that are His? Love, right? What's the fruit of the Spirit? First thing mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians 13 goes along through the whole thing talking about love. Gets down to the bottom and says, the greatest of these. I mean, you want to desire gifts? You know what the greatest gift is? He's saying, you know what you ought to desire above any other gift? Love. You know you can't properly use whatever gifts God's given you without it? Maybe I have a talent for doing some certain thing. We had a man come in the office, I guess it was a couple weeks ago the first time, and then he came back in this last week, and he was telling us that he, the Lord had given him a gift of being able to write with calligraphy. And he chose to, how can I use this to glorify the Lord? Well, he writes scripture, you know, out. He brought mom a piece of his work this past week. But what does that mean? Let's just say that the Lord gave him this gift of calligraphy or gave somebody a gift of something else, whatever it may be. What does it mean without love? That's what really 1 Corinthians is talking about, isn't it? You know, it goes on to the point to say, even if I give my body to be burned without love, what does it mean? Yeah. What really has it affected without love? So we have this love that's shed abroad in our hearts. So is this love that God shed abroad in our hearts perfect? Came from God. Now, hold on. I know where you're going. I'm going there next. But this love that God shed abroad in our hearts, is it perfect? Everything that God does is perfect, right? Everything that God does is complete. There's nothing lacking. So this love that God shed abroad in our hearts, yes, it is perfect. The no that I got from you is the same thing that I feel sometimes. Because I don't always completely and perfectly express the love of God. But what God has born within me, this new life that I have in Christ, this love that God has given unto me is perfect. Now, there are times when people, as my dad used to say, don't let people get, you know, don't let them get your goat. You know, don't let them know where your goat's tied. Not everybody can understand that. You know, but basically, don't let people get to you. You know? Undermine this love that is to be shown unto all. By all of God's children. But there are times people will just rub us the wrong way. And we don't come across as loving. As we know that we should. How do we know that? How do we know that we're not coming across as loving as we should? Yes. Why do we feel? Why are we... you've expressed it in feeling bad. Why do we feel bad? The Bible puts it this way, grieved. Why do you feel that way? Comes right along with the new life that we have in Christ. Yes, the Spirit of God within us. Yeah, you think about that very long, that'll just blow your mind in the sense to think about the fact that the Spirit of God abides within us. Me. Knowing that I do not show God's love the way that I ought to all the time, yet God's Spirit abides within. And if I don't do that, God's going to let me know. Like I was saying earlier this morning, as a child of God, He is your Heavenly Father. He's not going to let you sin and get away with it. God is going to instruct you. He's going to chasten you. He's going to bring you to the right path. In the manner in which we were speaking about it this morning, out of Psalm 23, it's the path of righteousness that He leads us in. He's going to make sure that you're walking that path. If you stray off that path, He's going to bring you back. Why? Because He's the shepherd. You're the sheep. He'll leave the 99 and go off and get the one and bring it back into the fold. So, the love of God within us, perfect. We don't always show it perfectly. There's no doubt about that. Sometimes we have to, and if you do not do what you know you should do, you know what you're doing. Now, I've used this illustration before. If I knew all of your backgrounds in history to use a different illustration, I'm using one from mine. This piece of wood up here. I used to work in a cabinet shop. The grain on this piece of wood and the piece of wood that you're sitting on runs a certain way. Now, this isn't like a cut of meat. A cut of meat, you cut against the grain, right? At least that's what I was told. You cut with it's going to be a little, especially on a tough piece of meat, it's going to be a little chewier. You cut against it, that helps your teeth out a little bit, chewing it up. You cut against the grain there. This you don't cut against if you're sanding it. If you do, you're going to mar. The finish isn't going to come out the way that it should. It's not going to be clear. You got to sand with that grain. You got to get it all laid down nice and smooth before you put the lacquer on it, before you put the finish on it. Use another illustration. The current of a river runs a certain way. It doesn't run two ways. It runs one way. It's going to run downhill. Okay? I'm not saying it can't run uphill. If the force is strong enough from up here that it hits a little part that goes up a little bit, it's going to keep going, but it's running downhill. So that current's running one direction. If you're going to sin and not show the love of God the way that you want, you're going to have to swim against the current. Because the current of your heart, the new heart that God's given you, is running in this direction to love the brethren. If you're not going to love the brethren, you're going to have to sand against the grain. You're going to have to swim against the current in order to do that. Because there is a divine directive, in a sense, that is within you. And again, it's like we were saying before. It's not that we don't want to obey. We do want to. We want to obey this command. We want to love. Our flesh sometimes gets in the way of that. One day we'll be free of this flesh. It won't be a problem for us anymore. But as it stands, God has shed abroad this love in our hearts. And if we don't show it, we've got to go against the grain. If it's there. If it's there. And if you don't show it, you're going to feel it. You're going to know it. God's going to let you know it. If we give in to temptation and retaliate perhaps in thought, word, or deed, you don't even have to say anything. I've had to deal with people before that, they just drove me nuts and made me angry all the time. The things they would do just continually. It's like having a sore. I've got one on my thumb, and it'd be like pulling that thing apart all the time and, pouring stuff in it to irritate it and just all the time poking and prodding. And you get to the place where you're just like, I'm just not even going to talk to them. I'm not going to say anything to them. I'm going to avoid them. That's where you first want to retreat sometimes. But then you still don't feel right. Because you know what? I'm not being what I'm supposed to be towards that person. I've got to be me. I cannot let them force me to be somebody else or force me into a corner somewhere, you know, where I'm not ever seen or heard from again. I've got to show love. I've got to show love. How much better do you feel, even that person who does all those things to you, if you do something kind for them as a Christian? They don't appreciate it. They probably hate it. They despise you for doing it. And they think that you're just, that the only reason why you're doing it is to somehow get at them. But still, we are called to love. Even our enemies, we're called to do that. We're called to do good unto all men, but especially the household of faith, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we don't even have to say anything. We can just think it and we still feel bad. You know, I'd like to just tell that person, give them what for, you know, kind of a thing, but it's not right. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's not yours. That's the Lord's. That's the Lord's. So, in a sense, we could go back to verse number 5, where it says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You know what? The love of God in us is perfect, but it's being perfected in us. It's perfect, but it's being perfected in us because we're being conformed to the image of Christ, right? I told you I was going to read this verse of Scripture to you. In John 13, verse 1, the Gospel of John. Don't go looking in 1 John for 13 chapters because there's only 5. But the Gospel of John, in verse number 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unto the end. So here, we get a picture, as we start looking at these verses here, we get a picture out of the Gospel of John, words that we find what love really, it's something that, an expression of it, we find the perfection of it expressed in the life of our Lord. He loved them even unto the end. He loved us even unto the end. He showed us love unto the end. In the 34th verse of that same chapter, the Gospel of John, John 13, 34, we find some similar language that we find here in 1 John chapter 2. John talks about an old commandment and a new commandment. Well, in John 13, 34, our Lord's own words, it says, a new commandment give I unto you. A new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men shall know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Do you see anything in there that gives you reason to pause? I see it in here. It's just like, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Same thing when we get into love the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and your neighbor yourself. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. I read right over it real fast, but as I have loved you. How are we to love one another? As Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Unto the end. Unto the end. That's deeper than, to me, that's deeper than loving your neighbors as yourself. That we love as Christ loved. As Christ loved us, that we love. He loved us unto the end. How is it that he loved us unto the end? What did he do for us? He died for us, right? What does that speak of? It speaks of sacrifice. So what kind of love are we to have amongst one another? It's a sacrificial love. It's willing to give. It's willing to be spent. Because on the one hand, anytime anybody says give, first thing people think about is money. Well, that's not the only thing you can give. You can give your time. You can give your strength. You can give an encouraging word. You can give prayer. You can give lots of things that we can give. But it's a sacrificial love. But to love one another as Christ has loved us. I mean, who's there? It's a pretty tall order. Now, you may not have been in your past a tender-hearted individual, but let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, God's able to tenderize, and He will tenderize you. He will put you through some things that will tenderize you. So this commandment of which John speaks, we could say, well, how's it old? Well, he said in the old part, he said you heard it from the beginning. How's it new then? If it's old, how can it be new? How can something be old and new at the same time? Well, in the sense of being old, like I said, we've heard it before. It's not new in that sense. We're taught of God to do the thing that we're talking about here. To love, to show love for one another. I mean, God sheds that abroad in our hearts. That He's instructed us in that. I mean, He's given us that desire. It's there. It's kind of like, in a sense, the natives who've never heard the gospel. There's things they know are wrong. And they know that there's a deity that needs to be worshipped. And they know there's something that's been done that has angered this deity. And so they sacrifice sometimes to it. Never having heard the gospel. Never having possessed a Bible. You know, those things are kind of inherent within them. Well, as it comes to this thing of love, it's been shed abroad in our hearts. God's given you a desire to love. We're compelled to love. If we don't love, we're not happy. So then how is it new? Well, in short, I would say that it's new in this sense, that you come to a deeper understanding of it here than what it was in Leviticus. In Leviticus, basically, it's, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Here, we find the Lord saying, love one another as I've loved you. That's a little deeper to me. Long way from an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? That's a long ways from that. But the old, in a sense, is found in Leviticus 19:18. It says, thou shalt not avenge. Remember I said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I am the Lord. So it's the same. I mean, love's been there. What happened? What was the first, you know, act, as it were, outside of Adam and Eve not loving God and disobeying His command? What was the first act we saw that was the antithesis of the opposite of love? Cain and Abel, right? Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. And Abel's blood cried out from the ground to God. That had to be set right. That blood cried out for vengeance. Who's vengeance belong to? Belongs to God. So, love's been understood. But here he says, in a deeper sense, love one another as I have loved you. I know that impacts us. Because we want to know that we have eternal life. We want to know that we know Him. Just because you don't show that love perfectly. We've been over this in the sense of the commandments too already. I won't spend a lot of time there. But we have the ability not to do the things that we know we ought to do. Not to do the things that we've been called to do. Not to do the things that have been born within us to do. And we don't always show the love of God perfectly. But we desire to. That's the thing we've said, right? God's given us a desire to show this love and to show it perfectly. We desire to. We want to. We seek God that we would. But John's continuing here what he began in verse number 3 of chapter number 1. I'm sorry, chapter number 2. In the same sense, hereby we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, hereby we know that we know Him. If we love the brethren. If we love the brethren. So the first test is obedience. Second test here is love. It's a four-letter word. Small word to be judged by. Love. We know that we passed from death unto life, the Scripture says, because we love the brethren. It's the supreme test, in one sense. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. Neighbor as thyself. You know, it's the supreme test in one sense, this thing of love. So if you're a Christian, two things in 1 John chapter 2 are true of you. You obey God's commands. And you love the brethren. You obey God's commands because you love God. You love the brethren because you love God. And you know the love of God. In chapter 3, if you're there in 1 John, in verse number 10, let's read what it says there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He hits on both things that we've already, or that we're looking at this morning, we looked at last week. Obedience in the beginning of chapter number 2. And here, love that we're looking at in the verses that we're discussing this morning. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Skip on down to verse number 14. I just quoted this to you just a few moments ago. Verse number 14, 1 John chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do you see the connection there between this last verse that we read there? 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you see the connection there between that and John 13, 34? Where it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the sacrificial love that we were talking about is the expression of that love that our Lord loved us with even unto the end, that we are to show unto one another. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse number 17. 1 John chapter 3. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So, to bring it in a practical sense right down to the rubber meets the road, if you have something that would be a benefit unto your brother and you don't help him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? That's what he's really dealing with there. Verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. You know, your kids can, if you tell them to do something, they can say, okay, I'll go do it, and never do it. You know, that's loving in word and in tongue. You know, just saying that you're going to do something, not doing it, that's not the same. You know, just understanding what love is not the same as showing love. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. James says, show me your faith. Dear John, the sense of saying, show me your love. Show me your love. We know Scripture says God is love. What God has done in giving His only begotten Son is motivated by love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Why do what we do? If we're a child of God, love. Same as God. God's love shed abroad in our hearts. Why do what we do? So there's one or two things. It's either the love that God's given unto us if we belong unto Him, or if we do something for somebody else that's motivated by some type of self-motivation or gratification. I'm doing it because I'm going to get something out of it. Not just because, you know, I'm doing it, you know, that I may show the love of God unto someone. So, it's either real or it's not. A Christian may know that he has been truly made alive by Christ when he finds himself beginning to love and actually loving those for whom Christ died. You know, that's not a super Christian or another level that somebody reaches. No, this is basic equipment. The love of God. And you come that way. If you're His, the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. If you're not His, then you don't have it. But if you are His, it's not something that you get later. Now, we grow in grace, no doubt. But you come equipped as a Christian with the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. If the Spirit of God abides within you, then you have love. You say you love God. Well, do you love those for whom Christ died? There's the test that John's giving unto us. If we do not love the brethren, John says, we have no more right to consider ourselves a child of God than the one who says that he knows God but disregards God's commandments. This is a command. Love the brethren. We're told in Scripture, don't commit adultery. Well, you know what? If you love, you're not going to. You truly love your wife. You're not going to commit adultery. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit adultery. If you love as Christ loved us, you're not going to do those things. It's a question of love. I mean, if you love somebody, you're going to kill them? Probably not. Two don't go together. If you love somebody, you're going to steal from them, you're going to lie to them? I mean, here's my point. When people do those things, is it an act of love? No. No. What is it then? It's really hate. It's really hate. Turn with me to Romans 13, verse number 7. Romans chapter 13. Page number 838, Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What law? Well, we can go back to what you said. Murder, lie, steal, cheat, covet, you know, all those things. If we show the love that's spoken of here, then those things won't be a reality. It'll be a fulfillment of the law because that's what love is. The opposite of love is going to be hate when you do all those other things. You despise somebody that you would do those things unto. The only way you as a Christian will have joy and peace is by love. I don't know if you realize that. You can't treat people in an unloving way as a Christian if you truly are a Christian and be at peace with them. You're going to have to get it right with them. I don't know if it's ever happened to you before, but I've gone back to people that a year before, I hadn't seen them in a whole year, but the year before, something happened, and I asked them to forgive me for it. You know, and when you do something like that, and you have, and you that person, the last time I did it in my memory, you know, the person didn't even realize that there was anything, any kind of problem at all. But what's being manifested there is the fact that you want to love your brother or sister. You know, if you do something to them, and maybe they don't even realize what it was, but you go back to them and say, "I'm really sorry about this." And they say, "Well, what do you mean? What happened?" And you have to go explain it to them, and they're like, "Well, I didn't even realize." Yeah. Or it could be quite the opposite. They may have really realized what you were saying, you know. But you're going to have to get that right. You're not going to be at peace. You're not going to have joy unless you can get that right with them. So the only way you as a Christian will have joy and peace is by love. Skip over a few things here. We're kind of going long, I guess. Or are we saying longer than normal? I didn't look and see what time it was when we started. Here's something practical, okay, about this thing of love. Okay, how do I show this love unto the brethren? If you're still in Romans, turn over to the 15th chapter, verse number 1. Romans 15, verse number 1. This goes back, it's similar to what we were reading in 1 John chapter number 3 when we were, you know, reading about this, the one who has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, you know, not giving him, you know, what you could give him because you have it, you know, how dwelleth the love of God in him. Yeah, this is similar to that in Romans 15, verse number 1. From this standpoint, we then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak. So you've got a brother or sister who doesn't have, maybe, or they're in need of in some way, and you have, then you would be in the strong, you know, position. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You're thinking of the other. You're loving. You're sacrificing, in other words. Verse number 2, let every one of us, excuse me, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Even our Lord pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So, strong bearing with the weak. I mean, this is the practical side of what we're talking about when we're talking about loving the brethren. In Philippians chapter number 1, Philippians chapter number 1. Again, we're told a new commandment, John 13:34. I write unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. Right? Okay. Philippians chapter number 1. And we're going to read on into chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, I mean Philippians chapter number 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. How do you do that? How do you do that? What do we say that the type of love that Christ has shown unto us is? A sacrificial type of love, right? So how do you suffer for his sake? You sacrifice. It's a loving sacrifice. It's a humility. He humbled himself. It's an humbling sort of love. Having the same conflict, Paul says, which you saw in me and now here to be in me. All the places that Paul was imprisoned and shipwrecked and beaten. Why did he do that? Love. What motivated him to go through all those things? Love. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, we can't die on the cross to save somebody from their sins. I'm not saying that. Certainly, that's not what Paul's saying here. But that love that was in Christ, that Christ loved us with, even unto the end, is an humbling, sacrificial type of love that we are to show unto one another. So again, what kind of love is it? It's an humbling love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a serving love. It's a sacrificial love that we're called to show unto one another. How do we know? Why are we talking about this? Why have we spent this time speaking about love? How do we know we know it? We love the brethren. How do we know we love the brethren? Well, it works itself out in these practical ways, and that we show this sacrificial love, this humbling love, this selfless, you know, love, this giving, this serving. It's a self-sacrificing love. Amen. Let's